Hello, everybody. This is J-Rob, my man Jerm Twigs, and we're here for the world of controversy, bringing you everything that has to deal with controversy today. My man, let me tell y'all, what we have for y'all today, it's going to be interesting. Wow. I'm going to tell you we're a little behind as a scheduling, but we're still going to bring these stuff up, though. So, my man Jerm.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm okay. I'm ready. Yeah. Episode okay. 8, we are here. World of Controversy
yes,
Podcast.
Are. Yes, we are. Now, let me tell you.
Jeez. Come on, Rob. What you got to talk about?
Man. Africa. Africa.
What about it?
Africa is hurting right now. Africa is bleeding right now. Mm-hmm. It is bleeding. There's so much stuff going on. Now, we're going to, on this episode, our main focus is going to be on Nigeria and with the NSARS. That's the main thing. Other episodes, we may talk about the Congos, what's going on over there with the kids, you know, and the mining. And trying to get the chips that produce our phones, our smartphones, our technology, you know, Apple, everything, you know, and how much they pay money over there. You know, we'll talk about, you know, Ethiopia and all that other stuff, Liberia, Guinea. But right now, we're just focused on Nigeria because there's so much. First of all, there's so much even in Nigeria to talk about. But we're going to keep it limited, especially like we're not even from Nigeria ourselves, so
nope,
we're not gonna go too deep. Nope, we did just some research though. Now, let's not go too far. Now, we're gonna talk about Nigeria and SARS. So, SARS, as you know, is a like police group over Nigeria, it's like a special tactic.
Yeah, special anti-robbery squad.
Yes, special anti-robbery squad. Yes, that is there to, you know, handle, like, robberies.
Mm-hmm. Started in, like, the late 90s, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe it started in the late 90s.
Yeah, in the late 90s. But here's the thing, though. Instead of, like, just handling robberies, they started, like, victimizing the people there, though. Like the police brutality.
Yep.
The same thing we got here in America. We got police brutality here in America. Now, they got it over there.
Right.
Except, it got it even worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's bad. Extortion, just a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So, I just want to say that we're here Tuesday. This might be a little different because we're really, this is like an explanation episode. What would you have to say, Julian? For the people who don't know what NSARS is, this might be a good intro to NSARS.
Yes.
We're not going to argue, debate on this episode. You know, we learned a lot. We learned a lot.
Well, yeah, this is not one of our episodes we're going to debate, of course. It's more informal. No.
Yeah, informative.
Very informative.
Yes. Oh, gosh. NSARS. Yeah, so Nigeria had this group, NSARS, which is literally like the police there. It's like a small squad in the police. It was just in their largest city, Lagos.
Lagos.
It just kind of, you know what I mean? It worked out in Lagos. You know, people at the time, I was reading an article, it was saying people had plain clothes. No one had guns apart from this police squad. Mm-hmm. And then within 10 years, it was in the entire country.
Yeah.
And it was, not only was it in the entire country, but it also, you know, they started amping up with the guns, you know. And they just started asking for bread, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's another thing. They started victimizing the people. First, for the asking of bread, they convict them of, like, a crime.
Right, right.
You know, try to make them the try to call them the Yahoo boys, which is somebody that like steals or whatnot. So when they accuse them of being Yahoo boys, they tell them, you know, all right, give me like your money, like $10, $20, and that might be all that that person has, you know. And now they robbed, they took their money. That's all they have. They can't even get food or whatever. So these police brutality is, it's horrible. This is like a bully, you know, trying to bully you and, you know, try to falsely accuse you of something and be like, look, you got to give me your lunch money.
No, literally.
Literally. And then it's like,
oh, and if you don't, you're going to jail. That's corruption.
That is corruption. That is totally corruption. I mean, this is like so much. And then like to be accused of being a criminal just because you got an iPhone or you may have some dreadlocks. Like, come on.
Right. How do
African people have dreadlocks?
I think another part of it, I was just hearing from the podcast, the police do this anyway. And by the way, we live in America. We live in the United States. Some of these numbers, I don't know if you read an article or listening to stuff that maybe you go, wow, we're really blessed to be in America, because there's stuff happening over there with, they're not getting paid all like that. I heard something like an iPhone was like 3 months salary. Like you got to save up like all the money you made for 3 months to get it, and then when you, when a cop see you with it, they're like, "Oh, how you made all this money?" And then take that joint. Like that's messed up. That's messed up. You know what I mean? So this SARS thing, people, you know, they're big guns. Like Julian said, they're bullies, and we gotta stop that. So the cats this year, you know, this been going on for years, well over 10 years, and you know what? They're like, enough is enough. And it's really the young people I'm hearing.
Yes, this is the young people movement. See, the young people are tired of being harassed. They're tired of being victimized. They're tired of, you know, police coming up to them, calling them criminals. No, they're regular human beings. You know, I watch videos. I watch one. It was a guy. He was like, look, I'm not a criminal. You know, I'm trying to make my mom happy. I don't want to die young. And I was like, oh man, this sounds like it's too close to home here, man. Like, kind of like what we just went through with the George Floyd and all that. It's like, wow. And they got it over there. And I was like, wow. This is like eye opener right here. And look, these young people. See, here's the difference.
Break it down.
And I'm about to break down the difference from
Black Lives Matter,
the movement over there, to over here, okay?
Right. Break it down.
Let me break it down. Because these young people over there, of Nigeria, they're not afraid to die. No. They're going to fight for what they believe in, and it's not afraid to die. Now, the people here, we are afraid to die.
Comfortable protesters there.
Yeah.
Virtue signaling and stuff.
You just took the words out of my mouth, man. Because we have so much here in America that makes you comfortable that you cannot rise up. See, they don't have much over there in Nigeria. So when you don't have much and you don't have much to live for, then you will rise up not thinking about your life, not caring about if you die.
Well, dang, man. Well, not, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. But man, dang, you're that's not, almost like saying like they don't care about their life though.
I mean, they care about their life, but it's like
what
they're gonna fight,
right?
With their life on the line. We're not fighting with the life on the line. When they put out them rubber bullets, people jetted.
Dang.
When they threw their rubber bullets, you know, a lot of people jetted. Over here in America.
Right.
So, yeah. We're not ready for it.
Nah. We're not ready for
it. And there's so much stuff here that makes you comfortable.
So much.
So much that I can get into.
And it's so many people. I know me and you, we've done this protest stuff. This protest stuff is not new to me. It's not new to you.
No, but, it's not.
But I remember trying to get people to protest, like, and it's the comfortable protest, pretty much a parade. You know, some protests over here are parades.
Yeah.
Come out for a few hours, run up here, talk, yell at a politician, and go home.
Uh-huh.
People didn't even want to do that. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
People barely even wanted to do that. Listen, these people are getting beat up out here. And listen, it's because the cops were already beating them up. The cops were already threatening them lives. Like the George Floyd thing this year, I heard that what sparked in SARS this year with all this protest was them killing someone on camera, right? Wasn't it something like that? Like the police actually shot someone on camera. Or
actually, they shot like a few people.
Yeah, something like that, right?
They was shooting. They was shooting like a whole bunch of people. And, you know, people got tired of it. You know, people start rising up.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing, though, with these young people.
Mm.
A lot of these SARS officers are, like, older people, too.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So I was watching something, and, like, the guy was saying, like, young people don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Mm.
And he was saying, these are old warriors, right? People that fought in that Biafra war.
Mm-hmm.
So they know tactics that young people don't know.
Mm. The Biafran War?
Yeah.
I don't even know that, John.
The Biafra War?
Is that the Nigerian
Yeah, that's the Nigerian Civil War. Biafra War. The Nigerian Civil War.
Yeah. Wow. Episode 8, World of Controversy Podcast. I'm in the studio with J. Rob. It's just us two today coming back from a little postponed episode. We're talking about in SARS, y'all. Julian, did you read anything about, oh man, it just left me. It's a Lekki Tollgate massacre. It was the Lekki Tollgate massacre where the army shot people in, not in herds, I don't want to dehumanize anyone, but they were protesting peacefully and the army came and shot multiple people. Then the government went on like the next day or within the next week to say that it was fake. There were no casualties there.
But what was it called?
Lekki Tollgate Massacre.
That's what they call it? Lekki Tollgate Massacre?
The Lekki Tollgate Massacre.
Wow, I didn't even know that was the name of it.
Yeah, so what happened was there were protesters out, and then the government says, all right, it's the morning, right? And the government says, y'all, we're going to have a, what's that BS rule that takes away people's rights? Everyone go in their house at a certain time. Curfew. They said they're coming to curfew at like 4 p.m. They said it that morning. They're like, whoa, that's barely any time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to go back and say, all right, we're going to make it like 6, 7 p.m. All this in the same day, remind you. The protesters out there, they're like, nah, we're not going back anywhere. We're staying out here. We've got to protest. The army came and killed people. It was on camera. It was on social media. And I forget the exact numbers. That's why I was trying to look up today. The exact numbers is a little iffy. But Amnesty has a number about how many people got killed that day. Supposedly some army people even took some of the protesters' bodies to hide them, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I knew what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
They hide the bodies.
It's a bad joint.
Did you hear about when they shoot the people when they was trying to flee? And
no.
Then, like, the people was jumping in the, like, water.
Dang.
Just jumping in the ocean. And while they was jumping in there, even the police force, they was, like, still shooting at in the water. So you gotta swim. Then you gotta duck, like, bullets. That
joint is crazy.
Man. Yeah. You know, this whole in SARS thing, it started, like, well, they started seeing, like, the NSARS back in 2017. Now, you know, with the whole, like, pandemic and everything, and everybody on social media, it's starting to get more headline. And this is the thing about it, though. It's just, man, they've been through so much over there. Being through the police brutality. Then they found, you know, they was in the stores. They found that they hoarded all them food. You saw them videos. They was hoarding food. A lot of them food went bad. And this is food that was supposed to be given to them during this pandemic.
Dang. Oh, yeah.
Yes, this is food from the beginning of the pandemic. That I know the I think the United Kingdom gave to them.
World Bank won them things.
United Kingdom, because they gave money for them. Jeez. And you know, differences when they went through their lockdown, they wasn't able to go to stores like we were. See, we lucky, we got to go to the stores. Some of the other countries wasn't able to. So yeah, they extorted like food from them, money.
Wow,
it's crazy. They went and they found all that stuff, and some of that stuff is like expired. That could have fed families right there. You could have fed families.
And that goes back to the corruption part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the corruption. Like, government ain't trying to do nothing.
For the people.
No. See, SARS was there. They replaced the police. And now they're doing even worse.
They're doing the crimes. Jeez. Wow. Now, you talked about the police a little bit. I think I was telling you a little bit about it. Another difference between Black Lives Matter and NSARS, the two movements, some people from NSARS, I believe, have actually called for more money for the police. When we think about Black Lives Matter, we talk about defunding the police, but someone was talking about how bad the police over there live. Like, there's a reason why they're asking for money. There's a reason why they have to extort. So they're not like police here where they have houses and they your neighbor could be a police or whatever, police officer. I heard it was more like they have barracks, some type of camps where they live. And again, I'm not from that country. Like, I keep trying to tell people, we wish we had a But they don't. Supposedly, the police don't live too good over there. They're pretty much poor, so they're out there, and it's like, is they're out there, and they're like, all right, well, how am I gonna get more bread? And you know what I mean? They're stealing from their own people. It's messed up. So, the regular police officers, other police officers, get paid less than SARS police. SARS police obviously get paid a little bit more, but yeah, they're taking from the people they're supposed to be protecting and serving. But I don't want to say that the police are living all high and sprung and they got all this money and they're just taking from. It's not like the bear from Robin Hood, the cartoon movie. Remember that? It's not like that. It was like, no, these police aren't doing the greatest either. So, you know. A senator supposedly in Nigeria gets paid millions of dollars, though. That's more than a U.S. senator. If I became an elected official in Nigeria today, I will be getting paid more than a U.S. senator. That's corruption, people, to the third degree. If you didn't know what it was, that's what we call good old-fashioned corruption.
That is corruption.
I'm sorry to be yelling at y'all today.
That is corruption.
Talk to him, Julian.
Now, the stuff about, like, police getting paid. Police need to be paid. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe they should have, they should get paid, be able to pay their bills and whatnot. I don't think it should be right for, one, you should not be victimizing your,
constituents or whatever.
Your constituents, your citizens. See, you should not be victimizing them to and extort them for money.
No.
No.
That's especially always wrong.
Especially if you know that might be all they have.
Yep. Yep.
It's not like, oh, we can trying to, like, you know, criminalize people because they got iPhones. Man, as that's their whole savings, get an right. iPhone, then they should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
You're not a criminal just because you have an iPhone. That's like calling me a criminal because I got a PS4 or a PS5.
Right.
And I put my whole savings to it.
Right. And it goes back to how it is in America where there's some cats you could tell are drug dealers over here. You'd be like, oh, dang, how did this boy got these shoes like this? He driving a car like that. But we don't have cops actually running up in the people's crib like, listen, we know you're stealing this. No, in Nigeria, it's different. Just looking like you got money and make someone take your bread. You'll be looking like Debo off of, I guess, Friday or whatever when the boy took his chain.
Yup.
This is disturbing. And you know, if you live in Nigeria, I heard something about the regular police, even if they're not trying to extort you, they're like on the corners asking for money. Mm. Police. That's unheard of in America.
For real. So let me give you a quick history of the Nigerian police. So, like, the Nigerian police was first established in 1820. And over a century later, in 1930, that the Northern and Southern police forces merged into the first national police force called the Nigerian Police Force.
Mm-hmm.
SARS came in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 1992 is when SARS start to get formed,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting for me. But when SARS was first created, they was first in Lagos.
Yeah.
They was first in Lagos, and now like they're in the other like states.
Yeah.
And they Nigeria. Have guns. Yeah, and they got guns. They beating people. Do you see them? Dude, they got beat with the big sticks.
Yeah. Don't laugh.
I'm not laughing, but that one was
kind of. That drone was.
That drone. Was brutal.
That took me almost back to slavery. When that boy pulled out a stick, that. Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
I was not going to, but then you said something. I had to go.
Listen, you ain't seen nothing until that grown man get hit by that stick. If there's one thing you need to see after this podcast, when that boy got hit by the stick, that joint hurt me. So, yeah, that's no joke. Them cops should lose their job and worse. But they need bread. They need bread. And, they need bread. Okay, so, Rob, I guess I'll leave the social media part to the very end because I think you'll have some very good insight on how social media has affected our global politics. Unless you wanted to maybe hit on something now.
No, we'll save that. I want to see what you got.
Okay. All right.
What was you going to say?
No, I was going to say that I heard something about them replacing SARS.
Because with a SWAT team?
Yeah, right, with SWAT.
Yeah.
They replaced it
with a SWAT team.
Well, SWAT. I don't know if it's exactly like our SWAT team. But.
Probably not like ours, but they replaced it with a SWAT team. But I've been hearing the people say it's basically the same, just renaming it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there is no more SARS, by the way, y'all.
Hold on, don't say that. Because
It's essentially the same thing.
It's essentially the same, but replacing the name. So we're not gonna say there's no SARS.
Yeah.
If you just replace the name of them.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to figure out if it's the same exact people. Like, did they at least fire the SARS people and then get more different people?
I heard from the people videos that I watched. It was like, they ain't get rid of SARS. It's just the same.
Dang.
Replacing the name, and they want actual police reform. Mm. They want police reform. They want change. They want reform, actual like change to go on.
Yeah.
That is the thing. They're fighting for it. It's what they want. They protest.
Yeah, a redistribution of wealth, redistribution of power is what's really going on, I believe. That's what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm hearing stuff like these protests are now even more than just about ending SARS. Now that SARS is pretty much over, young people are out there like, nah, we need to protest corruption in general in Nigeria. Whenever these cats over there are getting paid more than U.S. senators, this is like, well, we got more money over here than any other country. Nigeria is over there paying their senators, or they're paying themselves. Let's keep it real. That's how corruption in the ruling class works. They're paying themselves. So they're getting paid, and the people are saving their money for iPhones out of a three-month salary. I could only imagine. They tried to explain the numbers in multiple podcasts and videos I've watched, and we did the research, but it's like even hard to explain because when you do the conversion, you're like, dang, that's so messed up. It's really bad with the corruption, really bad stuff. And we really need to end SARS. I'm all for it. I'm all for the young people standing up against their government, against these ruling class people over there. It's not even really racism right now. Right now, it is classism going on there. That's what it is, classism. And differentiating classes of wealth, battling. They're paying people off. I told Rob about this, and I don't know if he did. Looked it up. They paid people off to stop the protests. They sent they paid people, in our terms, $2.50, got them on a bus, shipped them down to where the protests were at, or at least gathering them up, and had Nigerians throwing rocks at Nigerian protesters like, you're fighting against, I heard someone say, they're fighting against the protest that would literally help them. They're getting paid $2.60 to disrupt a protest that is trying to help the working class Nigerian.
Sound familiar?
Uh-oh.
I mean, don't they pay certain people to spy on certain people groups here, or to disrupt certain protests here?
I mean,
turn on people.
Oh man, are you saying that there were some American protesters that were paid to disrupt the movement?
I mean, there's like a similarity there to here. Look, isn't it like?
But at least they're not getting paid $2.50.
Oh, that feed
I might get some homeless people down there, beat up some BLM people, but not beat up some Trump people for $2.50. Hey yo, get some homeless cats down 6ix9ine. Hey yo, you want to beat up Trump folk down there? But no, it's really messed up, like, yo, down there in Nigeria, man. They got paid like $3 to go fight protesters in their own state.
Yeah, it's messed up. I mean,
messed up, man, messed up. And it ain't even like a Republican Democratic thing. It's like their own people. It's so funny because I don't know, man. You know me. I'm just like, people can get paid off to literally do anything, and we got to really stop that. We really got to stop. They're throwing sticks at people in their own city.
See, but here's the thing.
Rocks that's, and crap.
That goes to your morals.
Uh-oh. See, right.
Because if all you care about is getting money and not about your people, and you're going to do anything for money.
Mm-hmm.
If that is your main thing, money, then you're going to do anything for it.
Yep.
You know. But if you want to see actual change, then you ain't even worrying about the money. Yep. Especially in like $2.50. Yep.
And that's what is going on.
We could get together and rise up. we can get together and rise up and do things, you know. But, you know, there's always somebody that's trying to cop out, you know.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that's trying to cop out. And there's always, I said it before, there's always a Judas in your group.
Yeah, you did say that before, man.
Judas sold out Jesus for that money.
True.
So you're going to have people that's going to sell you out for money. You got to know how to tell which one's the Judas in your group. And when you figure out the Judas in your group, you got to keep them close. They say keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer.
Dang. All right. Brother?
All right.
Yeah.
So you want the social media thing that you was talking about?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we could talk about social media, man, because I feel like you got some pretty good insights on the social media stuff. So I don't know if y'all peeped this, but the only reason, let me be very clear, the only reason we are having this podcast about NSARS is because we seen it on social media. We know very little Nigerians, believe me.
I know.
Okay, yeah, you ain't got a name drop, but like,
I'm not name dropping.
Oh, all right,
few. Man. Yeah, I know very few, but yeah, we don't know too many.
But how you find out about NSARS?
Yeah, it's through social media, man. Oh, like a lot of stuff now. You know, like I said, they've been going since 2017, but now it's just getting like them headlines now. Mm. This is when I first heard about it, like.
Yeah. So, why should we care? And was the social media tactic good? I mean, they got Americans talking about it. They got people like Germ and Julian talking about it on their podcast. Was that a good thing? Like, how has it affected them?
Social media is a good platform to get stuff out there, to get informed. See, because, you know, if they didn't go out on social media and put this stuff out there. Everybody go out their day, not even know what's going on, would not even care. You know, it'd just be like, oh, well, you know, Nigeria, whatever. No, you put this stuff out there, they put it on social media, people see. Now it start trending. Oh, SARS, in SARS. Yeah, this and that. It's like, wow. Okay, this is what's going on over there. And, you know, Nigeria got a lot of smart people over there, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very educated.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, why should we care? Because these are human beings. And if you care about, you know, the human race, then you should care about this.
Yeah, definitely. It's something you need to take account of. Anyone who talks about them being woke and anyone speaking of any type of pan-Africanism should know about NSARS. And if you don't, I'm so glad me and Julian was able to introduce it to you. Mm-hmm. Social media really helped in another way too. I don't know if you peeped this, but the government after that Lekki Tollgate thing, I was saying, they came out and said, yo, that's fake, no one died. But it was actually social media that exposed the government. Did you peep that?
Yep.
I believe there was a DJ named DJ Switch, who is a woman, or just a DJ down there, or whatever, and she was videotaping, I believe, down there. Mm-hmm. Even the Nigerians in America seen it and was like, oh, crap. And it started to get exposure, like, yo, this is happening right now. Our army is killing our people. Whether or not they said it wasn't happening, they're lying, because a lot of it was actually on camera. It was on camera. There was a picture that the government came out and said the picture was doctored up. About a protest with a bunch of people, and they were like, there wasn't that many people down there. Now that sounds like some Trump stuff too. Remember when Trump was like, yo, there was more people at my inauguration than actually, y'all think, and but the pictures came out, and it's like, nah, you know what I mean? It was the number that we thought, you know. So we really got to look at that kind of stuff and really think about it. The government is actually lying on what's going on between state-sanctioned killings and, I guess, extortion from their state-sanctioned police. And that's disturbing. It sounds like fascism. You know what I mean? So we really need to pay attention. Us in the United States, United Kingdom, London, wherever you are, and you think and you call yourself a woke or a revolutionary young person in general, you really need to look closer at the NSARS protests. I had a really great time researching it. I kept calling Rob. I'm like, listen, yo, there's so much. There's so much.
And when I looked it up, it was definitely so
it's
much.
It's so much to scratch the surface. We're just literally giving you an introduction.
This is literally like an introduction. This is like a very broad like info. We're not going too deep into stuff. Like, I can talk about the Biafra War and
we could talk about the inception of Nigeria, because I heard that got real, too. Like, their very constitution pretty much got corruption written into it. So, we're not even going that deep. We're literally scratching the surface. So
yeah, we're scratching the surface, because we could talk about, you know, Nigeria winning their independence. You know?
Yeah, like, right. That's what I'm saying.
It's, like, too much. We don't even got enough time on this podcast to go into. That's why I didn't want to talk about the other stuff from Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going to do a One Africa show, but that was not going to happen.
No way. Could not, you know.
Yeah, that was not. Wow. So, the social media thing, you appreciated it. What
I appreciate it, yes.
What do you think we can learn from NSARS, the movement, the social media tactics? What do you think we as the revolutionary or the intellectual Americans can learn from all that?
Okay, so here, the social media thing, man, that's one step, right? Yeah. And that was great. It gets people informed. It gets the information out there. That's how you gotta do it. Now, that makes it hard for government to deny stuff.
Right.
Another thing. And for people like us, we gotta learn from them, man. We gotta take their will to fight.
Yeah.
You know, and over here in America, we're too comfortable. We got complacent in some things, man. Like, we got social media that makes you, you know, lazy. We got these technologies, phones, tablets, computers, you know, they give us certain things that we don't need to rise up.
Yep.
You know, you got some people on welfare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Social Security, unemployment, which nothing wrong with that stuff, but it keeps you at a certain level.
Dang.
Which that makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
So you won't even want to rise up.
Dang.
See, that's what helps keep the poverty line, you know? And
just comfortable enough not to.
Yeah, it's stuff.
They give you just enough.
Just enough to be comfortable. We don't need to have you know, living large and lavish, but we need enough to be comfortable.
Just enough to actually make it seem like you might lose something. That's actually what it is, right?
Yeah.
Just enough to make it seem like you might lose something.
Yeah. And then we got, like, these tablets, and then you got these game systems, you know.
Gosh.
Ain't nothing wrong with the game system. You can play. I like playing games, too. And that stuff makes you comfortable, too. Then you got, you know, YouTube and the
Let's Netflix. Not even talk about these cats on pornography, either.
Oh, man.
Cats on drugs.
I was even about to hit on the pornography.
There are cats on drugs.
I was going to hit on, like, you know, Netflix and all that. But but yeah, we got the pornography, and then hold on, we got people that's high on drugs, you know.
Yeah, and not saying that's not happening there, but
yeah,
they don't have the money for it.
But we got the people high on drugs, then we got the people addicted to alcohol,
yeah.
And that stuff leads you.
Yep. Yeah, I know, definitely. Rise up.
All this stuff is like so much that keeps you comfortable and keep you in
escapism.
A certain place. This is why a lot of, especially minorities, blacks, stay at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to take what they're doing and not be afraid to die. Because they're definitely not.
Right.
This was a great discussion.
It was.
It definitely was a great discussion, man.
Yes. Episode 8.
Episode 8. This is wonderful. I'm glad to do this. Sorry, guys, but we got to end this. We'll have another episode where we talk about some other African countries. We'll have another episode where we talk about, you know, we'll probably get back to Nigeria again. But right now, this is it. Episode 8, we're here. Goodbye.